Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the Endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the Endowment by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Mary Peters. Mary is the administrator of the Federal Highway Administration in the U.S. Department of Transportation. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is Dave Abel. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, Mary, let's start by talking about the administration. Could you give us an overview of the mission and activities of the Federal Highway Administration?
Sure. The Federal Highway Administration basically consists of two major programs. One of those is the Federal Aid Program, and the other is the Federal Lands Program. What the Federal Aid Program does is provide funding and oversight for highways and bridges throughout our country that are eligible for federal funding, for the most part on the national highway system and the interstate highway system. Interstates are part of the national highway system. The second, and this is about a third of our responsibility, is our Federal Lands Program, and it's a part that's less well known, but that responsibility is particularly for the roadway segments within federal lands throughout our country, national parks, national forests. In the Washington area, most of the national monuments are on federal lands, and that's much more of a hands-on program.
I was curious, how does the FHWA interact with State Department of Transportation?
I like to think of it as very much a partnership between the State Departments of Transportation and the federal government. Our role is, I like to call it a federally assisted, state-administered program as it relates to our federal aid program. And what that means is the federal government provides funding and oversight, but the states actually select what projects will be built, when and where they come in to the program, and actually do build those projects.
And how about the employees that work with you? How many are there, and what type of skills do you
have? We have a little over 2,800 employees in the organization, throughout the organization as a total. 936 of them are in the Washington area in what we call headquarters, and the balance are out in field offices. Interestingly, our organization has field offices, 52 field offices, in all 50 states, as well as the District of Columbia and in Puerto Rico. And in addition to that, we have four regional centers where we have specialized expertise that supports the areas throughout the country. That's our predominant organizational structure. The skills, a lot of people think that we're just a bunch of engineers in the organization, walk around with slide rules and white socks and things like that. But in fact, there are a variety of people who work in the Federal Highway Administration: economists, environmental specialists, planners, ecologists, community planners, as well as, of course, engineers. And within our engineers, not unlike the medical profession, there are some very specialized areas of engineering. You can be a structural engineer, a hydrology engineer. So it isn't just this broad title of engineers, but some very specialized areas of engineering.
I would imagine that with the diverse workforce in FHWA, that it creates some challenges for you as the administrator. Can you tell us a little bit about your role as the administrator and what you do in that role?
Well, I like to think of my role as an administrator as the orchestra leader, if you will, in carrying out these programs. And my responsibility is to work with the state and local governments, to work with the parks and the forests and tribal governments, but also a variety of industry stakeholders, the construction engineering industry, a lot of environmental activists or those who are interested in environmental issues, historic preservation interest, and others, to follow the direction that is set by Congress and endorsed by the President, by President Bush, so that we're carrying out these federal lands and federal highway programs throughout the country. At the end of the day, I think our job is to provide mobility to America's citizens, visitors, and businesses. And we need to keep that overarching theme in mind. So that is my goal, is to get all these various players and all these various expertise working toward that end.
Let's take a little bit of a look at history. Tell us a little bit about your career prior to your appointment as administrator.
Well, just prior to being asked by Secretary Minette and President Bush to take this job as Federal Highway Administrator, I was the director of the Arizona Department of Transportation. And what that means, it's very similar to administrator in that it was the top job and the job responsible for all the programs within the organization. Now, that job was an interesting job because we had in Arizona, as the director of Arizona Department of Transportation, not just responsibility for highways, but we had, as the name suggests, broad responsibilities in transportation. We owned and operated the Grand Canyon Airport. We were responsible for motor vehicle functions within the state, meaning licensing and titling vehicles, as well as drivers. We were responsible for the ports of entry, both the international ports of entry at the point of Mexico entry, as well as interstate ports of entry. And we also had responsibility for transit functions as well. So a much broader area of responsibilities, whereas now I'm focused more on highways.
It's interesting that you have had considerable experience in state and local government, now experience in the federal government as well. Can you tell us a little bit about differences in the culture or perhaps an adaptation you need in your management style to work in the different sectors of government?
I think some of the things that I found in common with both federal and state government are the dedication and the qualifications of public employees. I have found without a doubt that these are among the hardest working, best qualified individuals that I've worked with ever in my career. But I think a difference that I would perhaps contrast, in Arizona, we were very interested in what was good for Arizona. And while we believe that things of a national interest were important, of course, we were basically interested in what was good for Arizona. In this job, I have to take much more of a national focus and look at issues much more broadly and determine what is good for this nation, what is in the federal interest of this nation, and take that perspective.
Is it difficult to resolve some of the differences you work with? You know, you mentioned 52 other entities in the state and local government area. Is it difficult to resolve the perspectives of state interest versus federal interest?
Sometimes it is, and especially with the way that our legislation, the federal highway legislation, works, is that, again, it's a federally assisted, state-administered program. So the lion's share of the decision-making goes to the states, but we sometimes, as relates to the interstate highway system in particular, have to say, well, what is important in terms of interstate commerce or national security or national safety, and help work with the states to ensure that decisions are made that respect local interest and local decision making, but also don't somehow compromise important federal interests as well.
One of the things that you mentioned when you were describing the structure of your organization and the fact that it is geographically diverse, one of the challenges in that certainly has to be the communication of your vision, how you would like the organization mm-hmm. to move forward. How do you effectively communicate your vision or your view for FHWA across that geographically diverse workforce?
You have to do it consistently, and you have to do it in every means at your disposal. And that's what we have learned. If we're going to communicate with these 52 division offices and 4 regional centers, and from here in Washington as well, and make sure that we're all playing from the same sheet of music, it's important that we have a lot of communication about our strategic direction. What is it that's important for us to accomplish in the near term and the long term? Get everyone in the organization engaged and involved. We use the internet. I use email extensively. I travel to these field offices and visit with them. And then we work with our leadership team to make sure that we are providing a clear, consistent message, but also that we give everyone in the organization an opportunity to be involved in how we carry out that message. So that's important in terms of communicating with everyone.
Do you find that the email is a good substitute for traveling and meeting people in person? I mean, it's simply impossible, I would imagine, for you to be there on a regular basis. And so people are using email communication. I'm just curious, does it replace, or how adequately does it replace the face-to-face meetings?
It doesn't replace the face-to-face, and I think you have to have a balance of both, but clearly with the entire nation and 2 districts, I can't travel all the time or I wouldn't get as much done as I need to here. So I think it does help. It doesn't substitute for, but it supplants, I think, that ability to communicate. And one of the things that's always been important to me is to answer my own email and be very accessible to all the employees in the organization so that they know if they have an issue or if they have a concern, they can send an email to me and I'll respond to them, always respond to them.
Let me ask you about just a management style issue which come up as we've talked to other officials who were officials at the state level as they come to the federal level. And they've described sort of the following feeling, which I'm paraphrasing. As a leader of a state organization, I had customers call and complain. I could pick up the phone and do things, and things would happen, and their complaint would resolve. Now I'm in a federal organization, and I don't have that. And much of what you described about the relationship between FHWA and the states seems to mirror that. So I'm wondering if you're finding that to be true and how you're dealing with that.
Paul, I think you're right. It's much less. When I was the director of the Arizona Department of Transportation, and if someone phoned me about a problem with a roadway section, I could pick up our maintenance office or something and do something about that. Here you're a step removed, so it is much more difficult. But what we have found, and I think this was really epitomized when we had the tragedy on I-40 and the bridge collapse early this summer, was the ability to pick up the phone and work with the state of Oklahoma, provide expertise where we could to resolve that situation. Foundation, while they were the people there on the ground doing the work, we were behind the scenes providing expertise, ensuring that the funding got there to them. So it's less of a direct effect, but I think you still have the ability to meet customers' needs.
And how about the level of layers in your organization? With a large organization, I'd imagine you need some layers because you can't coordinate everything, but layers have traditionally filtered information both up and down, so people want to reduce layers. I'm wondering how you figured out the right mix for the number of layers between you and everybody else.
Well, I was fortunate, and then I inherited an organization that had gone through a rather substantial reorganization in 1998 and eliminated a number of layers. And what we want to do is have no more than two levels between ourselves and our field offices so that ultimately we are communicating well and carrying out a clear sense of strategic direction. So in my office, myself as administrator and a deputy administrator and executive director communicate then with directors of field services, and they with our field offices. So we just have those few layers, and I think that helps us tremendously in communicating well and again, being consistent.
It's a good stopping point. We've got to go to a break. Rejoin us in a few minutes as we continue our conversation with Mary Peters of the Federal Highway Administration. Traffic congestion on our highways is getting worse. What can we do about it? We'll ask Mary for her thoughts when the Business of Government Hour returns.